tonight and take a few minutes of refuge and just let everything else go for just a few minutes. If you want to go ahead and take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis chapter number 43, that's where we'll be doing our reading that tonight, and just looking forward to getting back into our story about Joseph. Every time that I think, well, we just got one or two more Wednesday nights to go with this, I keep finding a little something else and find a little something else it seems like we want to talk about as we study about Joseph. If you're watching us on Facebook tonight, thank you for joining us. You're welcome to leave a prayer request or a comment there in our comment section. Or if you need to send us a private message, you're also welcome to do that. And someone on the digital media team will let me know that you sent that message. And if you need prayer or whatever, be glad to help you to pray about that. As we continue to move forward, I tell you what, I'm enjoying these beautiful days that God has blessed us with. I'm enjoying, hey, even with people with masks on, you can tell there's a little different smile on their face and all those kinds of different things. But really looking forward to what God's going to do for us in the short time that we're together tonight and show us in His Word. Let's pray one for another. Pray that God will just help us to know exactly what we should be as we go day in and day out through everything that we do. And then also, let's pray for our church right now. Just pray that God will help us to know exactly how He wants us to move forward. I'm looking forward to maybe doing some exciting things, getting back to some things that maybe we had to put on pause for just a little while. And just pray that God will give us some clarification and the wisdom to know what we should be doing here in His house. Most of all, let's just take tonight and let's just sit back and listen for what God has to speak to us in His Word. Let's pray for the lost. Let's pray for some families in our church that's having some trouble. Let's pray for the sickness that has happened in our church. God knows all those needs, and there's been a lot of families that have experienced loss here recently. Let's remember all of those tonight as we get ready to get in to the Word of God. Let's go together to the Lord in word of prayer. Lord, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for all Your many blessings. We thank You for all that You do for us. God, we thank You for the way that You provided for us this week, even in things that we didn't know that we were going to need help in, God, that You were there. God, I thank You and praise You for the opportunity that we have to be here tonight. I pray that You'll just touch as we dig into Your Word, and I pray that You'll just help us, God, to get out of Your Word what You would have us to have, that we may take it with us this week, and we may chew on it, and we may take it and apply it to our lives and be doers of the Word and not hearers only. God, I pray for all the prayer requests. You know each and every one of them by name, and You know the need, and You know the best way to touch that need, and we ask You to move in a special way. Help us to be what You'd have us to be as Christians. We pray most of all for the lost, that they'll see their need for a Savior before it's everlasting too late. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Genesis chapter number 43, as you remember last week, when we were talking about Joseph last week, we got in to the part that we knew that the famine had grown worse. And all of the corn that the brothers had went and got in Egypt on the first trip, they had eaten it all up and it was gone. And they were in a place that they were in need again. And we talked about several different things in that scripture last week. And as we know, they went to Jacob and told him that we're not going back if you don't send Benjamin with us. Because Joseph, at the last time, I think he kept Simeon there with him and he let the other brothers go back. And he said, if you come back without your little brother, if you come back without Benjamin, you won't see me. So now that it's come time, Jacob don't want Benjamin to go. He's scared to death that something's going to happen to Benjamin. So he don't want Benjamin to go back with him. But the brothers have said, look, we are not going to go back if you won't let Benjamin go with us. They're scared of what may happen to them if they go back without Benjamin. So that's kind of where we pick up in verse number 8 tonight. So Genesis chapter number 43, verse number 8. The Bible says, and Judah said unto Israel his father, send the lad with me. So he's saying, send Benjamin with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou and also our little ones. So they're to the place that they feel they're going to die. If they don't get some food, if they don't, you know, this famine is so bad. He says, so send Benjamin with me so that we won't die. In verse number 9, and I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned this second time. And their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm and a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds. And take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carried it again in your hand, Peradventure, it was an oversight. So as we're looking here in these first few verses, as you look at verse number 8 through 10, we know that the famine is so bad that the brothers are willing to put their life on the line in order to go and get the food. They're willing to put their life on the line. They tell their daddy, look, or especially Judah here, he tells Jacob, he says, listen, let Benjamin be under my control, and if Benjamin don't make it back, I'll be held responsible forever. You know, sometimes in our life, things have to happen in order for us to check our priorities. If we have to be in a place that it's a tough place, it's a place that maybe we don't really want to be, or in a place, a situation that's really tough in our lives, for us to stop and check our priorities. You know, we like to live on the mountaintop as Christian people. We like to live way up here where God's good to us, and we want to sing and we want to clap our hands and we want to do those things. But a lot of times it's in on that mountaintop that we begin to take God for granted. We begin to take our relationship for granted with God. We begin to take our salvation for granted, or God's provision for granted, or the safety that God gives us for granted. And sometimes on that mountaintop we get to a place that we're not acknowledging God with our lives the way that we should be. But then when things change, I can't help but always think about that song, God on the Mountain. But then when things change and you get down in that valley, that's when you start to say, God, help me. That's when we begin to seek God. That's when we begin to say, God, I know that you're there. Show me what you want me to do. Well, maybe if we'd been in that place while we were up on this mountain, we might not have ended up in the valley. But anyway, that's where these guys are now. They know that they and their families are going to die if they don't get to go back to Egypt and get corn from Joseph, that they don't get that provision that Joseph has. And they're so willing to do whatever it takes to go and get what they need that they begin to lay their life on the line and begin to say, you know what? No matter what, I'll lay my life down for Benjamin. If Benjamin don't make it back, you can hold me responsible for it. You can hold me accountable for it. Well, you know, that's what we need to do as Christians. We need to look at God and say, God, I'm going to lay my life on the line. My life is yours now. You know what? The Bible tells us that we've been bought with a price, that we don't belong to ourselves. And we need to lay our lives down and say, God, whatever you want for my life, whatever you want for me in my Christian walk, that's where I want to be. But you know what? It seems like we have to sometimes get in that valley before we get to that place. But here the brothers, they say, we got to go get some food or we're all going to die. And then you look in verse number 11 and verse number 12, and it's bad enough that they finally agreed to allow Benjamin to go. That it gets bad enough that even though that Jacob does not want Benjamin to go, it gets bad enough that he finally says, okay, I'm going to let him go. And you know what? Sometimes that's the way it has to get in our lives. It has to get to a place that's so bad that we finally let go. And so many of us, I believe, in positions in our life and circumstances in our life, it's time to let go and let God have a certain situation in your life. It's time to say, you know what? I've battled this too long. I've come up against this. I have struggled with it. I have done everything in my power to either overcome this or deal with it or whatever. And it might be time that you just lay it down and say, okay, God, it's yours. God, it's yours. I'm tired of doing this in my life. I'm tired of struggling with this in my life. I know I've shared the story with you a couple of different times, but it was so much true in Autumn and I's life when we were wanting to start our family. And it just didn't happen the way that we didn't happen as fast as we wanted it to happen. We were ready to start our family, and we struggled with that. But I remember one night when Autumn and I come together and we prayed at the altar at our church, and I said, look, we've got to give this to God. We've got to quit worrying about it. And we tried our best to do that. And it wasn't long after that that things began to happen in our life, and it wasn't long even after that that we had our family. But sometimes we try to do way too much, and instead of saying, God, here it is. It's yours. We've all got something we're probably struggling with right now. And you're trying to do everything in your power to solve it. You're trying to do everything in your power to take care of it. Well, maybe just get above your power and say, here, God, it's yours. Because, you know, the thing about that is if you belong to God, that's what he wants you to do. I like it when my children come to me and say, Daddy, will you fix this for me? Daddy, will you take care of this for me? Because if I can, I'm going to do it. You can count on it. If there's any way that I can fix it, I'm going to take care of it. And that's the way that God is with us. So now that they're getting ready to go, and Daddy has said, okay, y'all can take Benjamin. It's got bad enough that I'm going to let go, and I'm going to let you take my most precious thing that I have, and I'm going to let you go to Egypt and get the corn. Look what he begins to tell him. He begins to tell him, but I want you to take a present. I want you to take the best of the fruits. I want you to take, look at what I says here in verse number 11. Take the best of the fruits in the land and your vessels and carry down the manna present, a little balm, a little honey, spices, and myrrh, nuts, and almonds. He said, I want you to go down and I want you to take some of the best that we have. Look, they're in the middle of a famine. There's no way that they had a lot. There was no way that they just had a ton of stuff that they could take as a present. But he instructs them, he says, when you take this present, I want you to take the very best that you have. I want you to take it and I want you to present it to the ruler of Egypt. Now, we know that Joseph had Pharaoh above him, but he had been set ruler over all of this stuff that they had kept up for the 7 years prior to this. And he says, I want you to take the best. Now, I want you to think about something. As we have been talking about a foreshadowing of Christ, as we've been talking about Joseph being a representation of Christ in the Old Testament, as we look and Jacob tells him, look, you go down and you take the best that you have. Don't you think that we should bring God the best that we have every single time we come into his presence? Look, he's telling them, you're getting ready to go in the presence of the ruler. Now, we know Pharaoh's above, but you're getting ready to go into the second in command, the guy that's over everything that can make the choices of whether you get what we need or not. Now, I want you to take the best of the fruits. I want you to take this and present it to him. You know what? I know that a lot of people talk about people being old-fashioned when they talk about what you wear, what you do, what you say. And you know what? I think that we absolutely should give our God the best that we have in everything that we do. Do I care what kind of clothes you wear? Absolutely not. Now, if you run around half-naked, that's a little different story, because none of y'all need to run around half-naked. I'm just telling you right now, no more than I do. But if you went to God and prayed about what you wear or what you look like or how you wear your hair or what you do, I want you to know that God lives on the inside of you and he'll convict you if you're not right. I don't have to say a word about it. But I believe that any time that I think about doing anything for God, any time that I think about being what God wants me to be, I need to do the very best that I can do at it. It wouldn't be any different if I walked in here, and sometimes y'all may think that I do this, the way that I stutter and stammer, but it wouldn't be any different if I just walked here on Sunday morning, I hadn't read my Bible at all, I hadn't prepared at all, I haven't done anything, and I just said, you know what, I'm just going to open my Bible, and this is where we're going to be at today. That wouldn't be good. I need to be prepared to do the very best that I can do when I come in here on Sunday morning, and I hope if I'd done that, and I started really just thinking it up, that y'all would find somebody that would prepare and be ready to do the best that they could do as they come into the house of the Lord. Let's continue reading in verse number 13. It says, take also your brother and arise, go again unto the man, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. And the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of the house, bring these men home and slay and make ready for these men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. So as they go and they're invited into Joseph's house, I want you to notice that as they went, there was only one thing that Joseph was looking for. When they got there, he didn't look to see what the present was that they had brought. He didn't look to see the best fruits. Now, I think we should give our best, and I think we should do our best to do everything that God wants us to do and more. But as they got there, Joseph didn't pay attention to the present. He didn't pay attention. He looked to see if Benjamin was there. And I'm thankful that when I stand in the presence of an almighty God, there's one thing that he's going to be looking for, and that's whether or not I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know that I have faults and failures. I know that there's things sometimes that happen that, you know, questions may come in my mind. There's been times that I've let people down, but I'm thankful that when I stand before God and the decision is between whether I go to hell or whether I go to heaven, that there's one thing that God's looking for, and that's the fact that my sins have been forgiven. I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. My name is in the Lamb's book of life. I'm thankful that there's one thing that he's going to be looking for. Just as Joseph here was looking for one thing, he was wanting to see Benjamin. And when Benjamin came, he said, I want you to take these guys to the house. And I want you, look, I wonder if they got a little nervous. And he's, look, when you read verse number 16, look at the way it's worded. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of the house, bring these men home and slay. Woo, do what? He was talking about go kill something to eat. But the way he said it, man, there could have been a whole lot of interpretation that come into that. And them boys could have got scared real quick. Slay, who you going to slay? No, he was wanting to go fix them something to eat. He was going to bring them into the house, and he was going to eat with them while they were there. So here they are. They've been invited into Joseph's house because they did what Joseph asked them to do, and that was to bring Benjamin. I'm thankful that I'm going to make it to heaven because I've done as God instructed, and I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Let's go on with verse number 18. And the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. Okay, so they were back home, and they knew that they needed to go see Joseph in order to get food. So they beg and beg for daddy to send Benjamin so they can go see Joseph and get food. They do as Joseph instructs, and they bring Benjamin. So then they prepare to be in the presence of Joseph by taking this present. And then they get there, and Joseph says, you're going to go to my house. And all of a sudden, they're scared. Think about this for just a moment. Is that not the way that we as Christians are sometimes? We want to be in the presence of God. We want God to move on our lives. We want God to speak to us. We want God to talk to us. We want to read God's word and comprehend and understand. And then when we begin to grow closer to God and we develop that relationship, and then all of a sudden God speaks to us and God directs our life, we get scared and we clam up and we won't do what God asks us to do. Because I'm going to tell you, if we seek God the way that we should seek God, and if we study God's word and we seek that relationship, the Bible tells us if we'll draw nigh unto him, that he'll draw nigh unto us. And when you get there, and when I get there, you know what? God's going to put a fire on the inside of you that you want to share with others, you want to tell others, you want to do something for God. And if you've never done that, that's scary. I still get scared every Sunday morning. When I come to preach, I still get scared every Sunday morning because I don't want to mess up. I don't want to say anything wrong. I don't want to do anything whatsoever that would be within me and not God's will. But even as I leave here in the afternoon and I go out and I go to work the next morning and I bump into people who I know I need to tell about Jesus Christ, sometimes I clam up and I get scared. Here, these guys, they've done what they wanted to do. They're in Joseph's presence. They're in a place they can get help. They're in a place that they can get what they need. And all of a sudden, in verse number 18, and the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house, and they said, because of the money that was returned in our sacks the first time are we brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and our asses. So now they're all of a sudden, they're scared that Joseph is going to hurt them, even though he's told them, you bring Benjamin, and I'm going to take care of you. So here they are, they're in Joseph's presence, and they're scared to death. And you say, well, preacher, I don't think that don't happen now. Well, now look, we've been praying for God just to move on our church. And we're praying for God's presence to be real in our church. And we're praying for God just to show up in an awesome way and prepare us so that sinners can come in and feel the power and the presence of God and come to know Jesus Christ. Hey, I want y'all to feel the power of God. I want me to feel the power of God. But more than that, if we've got anybody coming right now that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I want them to feel the power of God. I want them to feel the love of God. I want them to feel that conviction. Y'all remember what it was like, right? Y'all remember when your heart got to beating, when the Holy Spirit got to draw on you, and you knew that you needed to be saved, but you just didn't know if you could walk down here, and you held on for a couple of Sundays, and it just kept getting stronger and stronger. Well, you know what? When you finally get to that place, people are going to do one of two things. They're either going to get saved, or they're going to get out of church. They're going to have to make a decision one way or the other. I want that here. I want God's presence and his power to be that real here. And we're praying for God to move like that. And some of us might have to get out of our comfort zone and begin to do something that God has told us to do in order for that to happen. I was picking at Silas just the other day. I always pick at Silas, just in case y'all didn't know that. But we were somewhere, and he was talking about how when he was with his girlfriend's family, that a lot of times that he would say the blessing over the meal. Hey, I like seeing him catch footballs, but when he said that, I swelled up just a little bit. That's my boy. And he was willing to pray with someone else. I said, that's good. I said, so you about ready to pray at church, ain't you? Daddy, you better not do that to me. Don't you dare call on me. I said, yeah, honey. I said, you're almost 18. I'm going to call on you to dismiss church one Sunday. Daddy, I'll get up and leave. Don't you dare do that. So I was deflated just a little bit. I was hoping he'd say, yeah, Daddy, go ahead. I'm ready. But you know what? There may be some of y'all that would be in that same boat, because I've mentioned it to a couple of people, and I'm not necessarily anybody that's here tonight, and they looked at me like, you do, preacher, and that's the last time I'm coming, I'll tell you right now. But you know, we want the power of God to be real here, and we may have to get out of our comfort zone. I'm not necessarily just talking about preaching or praying or singing or anything else, but we might have to get out of our comfort zone just a little bit, get over being scared, in order for us to get what God wants us to have, in order for it to be real in our lives. Let's continue reading. Verse number 18, again, we see that they're there, they're afraid, and then they begin to tell what's happening. In verse number 19, and they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house. Now, let me hold on. I got to go backwards just a second. Because you want to know what was funny about when I was picking at Silas about that? And I said, I'm getting ready to call on you to pray. And he said, Daddy, don't you dare do that. Both of his sisters were sitting there going, yeah, Daddy, do it, do it, do it. We always want somebody else to do it, don't we? We always want somebody else to be the one to get out of their comfort zone. And then I looked at the girls and I said, well, what about y'all? What if I call on y'all? And it was a whole different story then. So we always want somebody else to get out of their comfort zone, but let's be willing to get out of ours. Verse number 19, I got to move on. And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house, and said, oh, sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food. And it came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. And other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. And he said, peace be to you, fear not. Your God and the God of your father have given you treasure in your sacks. Boy, that verse right there would preach. God has put a treasure in your sack. If you look at your life and you think about what God has done for you, you could spend endless time praising God for the blessings that he has given in our lives. For the way that, look, Joseph did this when his brothers didn't know him. And if you look in your life, you can see times that before you knew God, that God was giving you blessings. The Bible talks about it raining on the just and the unjust. How that God gives blessings in our lives before we are ever blessing God. Before we ever acknowledging God in our lives. That God has given us treasure. And I can look through my life and I can see so many times that God gave me treasure in my life, and that God has given you treasure in your life. Maybe even before you knew him or you acknowledged him in your life, he gave you treasure. And the other money we brought down, in verse number 22, brought down in our hands to buy food, we cannot tell who put it, our money in our sacks. And he said, peace be to you, fear not. Your God and the God of your father have given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money, and he brought Simeon out unto them. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender. And they made ready the present against Joseph came at noon, for they heard that he should eat bread there. I'm going to stop reading right there tonight. We're going to stop with the study tonight. We may continue right here next week, but I want to think on this thought for just a few minutes. In verse number 24 and verse number 25, you can see that they knew that Joseph was going to show up. They knew at some point in time that Joseph was going to come and that he was going to eat bread. And they had been brought into the house to eat bread with him. And you'll see a little later that he actually eats separate from them and he sends messages back and forth. But as they knew that they were going to be in Joseph's house and they knew that Joseph was going to show up, you can see in verse number 24 and verse number 25 that they begin to prepare. They begin to, again, prepare that present that they had brought. And they begin to wash. They begin to get ready. They begin to get into a place that when Joseph shows up, that they are in the best place possible with their appearance and with the present that they have brought him. I want you to know something. As we think about Joseph being a foreshadowing of Christ or a type of Christ in the Old Testament, and we see these guys getting ready to meet him, getting ready to see him, getting ready to sit down and be with him, that we know that they were getting ready, the most important thing that we can do as we think about Jesus Christ is to be sure that you're ready to meet Jesus Christ. To be sure that when my time has come, that I stand before Jesus Christ, and we know that through salvation that we're ready to meet Jesus Christ. That because of the blood that we're ready to meet Jesus Christ. But I want you to know, as I look at my life as a Christian, that there's some things that I would adjust if I knew that I was going to stand before Jesus tonight. If I knew that Jesus was going to be in this sanctuary tonight. And I want you to know that I hope he is, because I brought a little bit of him with me, and I hope you brought a little bit of him with you. And I know that he is. He says where two or three are gathered in his name, that he would be in the midst. Did we come tonight to church? Did we come like Jesus was going to be here? Did we come expecting for Jesus to be here? Did we come prepared for Jesus to be here in the midst of us? Or was it just one of those things, well, it's just Wednesday night, so I'm just going to go to church and I'm going to relax and hear a little bit about God's word? Did we spend any time praying this week about Wednesday night service? Did we spend any time in God's word and going, you know what, I bet that preacher's going to be back over in Genesis this week. I think I'm going to read a little bit and I'm going to see what God will show me. Did we do anything to prepare to be in the presence of God tonight? See, so many times I know that when I was in a position, it seemed like it helped me grow as a young Christian when they decided to let me teach the teenagers at Pine Ridge Baptist Church. They asked me if I would teach them, and you know what it did? If nothing else, it made me get into God's word and begin to study and to be prepared. Because there was no such thing as a courtly in our church, and you had to get your Bible out, and you had to ask God for a lesson, and you had to search it out and study it, and that was one thing that kept me studying in God's word. And then as I began to grow and begin to grow, that's when God began to speak to my heart, and it wasn't long till I felt like God was calling me to preach, and I announced my call to preach, and then I pastored a church, and that whole time that kept me studying, and it kept me studying. And then I found myself when I wasn't pastoring a church, and I was just going back to church, and I wasn't responsible to teach, I wasn't responsible for preaching, I found myself getting slack on my studying. I found myself not preparing to go to church. Oh yeah, I got up, and I'd put on my Sunday morning breeches, and I'd put on my shirt, I'd spray a little smell good on me, and I'd go to church with my Bible tucked under my arm. But spiritually, I had not prepared to be in the house of God. Spiritually, I had not prepared to be in the presence. Look, these guys, they start in verse number 24. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet and gave their asses provender. And they made ready the present against Joseph, came at noon, for they heard that he should eat bread there. They wanted to be ready when Joseph showed up. You know what? I believe that God is wanting us to be ready, that God is wanting us to come on Sunday morning, and we don't come. Hey, going to church is a great habit to be in, but don't come to church just because you're in a, yeah, do come to church because you're in a habit, but let's go beyond the habit and be ready to come to church. Be prepared to come to church. Study God's word throughout the week. Pray for me. Pray for our church. Pray that whoever is here that week that may need something from God, that there's somebody that's lost, that God will send somebody that's lost, and let's be prepared to be in the presence of God. Now, as far as my eternity, thankfully, because of God's grace and God's mercy and the provision made for me through the cross, I am prepared to be in the presence of God in that stance. But tonight, really, were you really ready to come to church? Did we prepare to come to church? Or was it just that we got off work today and, listen, this is the way my Wednesdays go. I get off work, and I come home just as quick as I can. I go in and I get my notebook out and my Bible, and I begin to review and jot down a few last-minute notes. I run and jump in the shower. Sometimes I don't. So if you ever smell me, just get on with it. It'll be all right. I'm running late. But I jump in the shower. I get out, put my clothes on, run to church. And I know if you're here tonight, you've probably done something similar. Got off work, come and just... But what about between Sunday and Wednesday? Have we done anything to prepare for church? What about between now and Sunday? What are you going to do to prepare for church? See, Autumn, she'll go in there on Friday night a lot of times and go ahead and get my church clothes out, lay them out for me. She'll go in there and get my right tie out so I won't be all tacky colored up here in front of y'all. And she'll prepare me for Sunday morning. But what do I do between tonight and between Sunday morning to be ready to be in the house of God and to be ready in the presence of God. Because here's what will happen. If we really begin to prepare our hearts and our mind for Sunday and Wednesday, you know what it'll also do? It'll prepare you to be in His presence Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's not just about Sunday and Wednesday. We don't have to limit to being prepared to be in His presence to just 2 days of the week. Because when I accepted Him as my Savior, His Holy Spirit moved on the inside of me. I have Him with me all the time, every single minute, every single second of my life. And I need to stay prepared to be in His presence. Look, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender, and they made ready the present against Joseph, came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. When he got there, they were ready. Now, as far as eternity, think about this. I know that if you're saved, you're saved, you're saved. I understand that. But we also know that as Christians, the Bible teaches us that we're going to give an account for the deeds that we've done in our body, whether they've been good or whether they've been bad. That's at the judgment seat of Christ. You're not going to see the great white throne judgment. If you go to the great white throne judgment, you took a wrong turn if you know Jesus Christ. So at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to give an account for our deeds. If you knew that tomorrow was it, if you knew that this year was it, hey, if anything, this COVID mess has taught us just how quick things can change in our lives, hasn't it? But if you knew that this was, that you didn't have very much longer, would you still do everything just the same way that you're doing it right now? I wouldn't. There's things that I would change in my life. There's people that I would rectify relationships with. There's people that I'd go to and say I'm sorry. Instead of coming home and working at night, I'd probably cut all that off and get my family together, and we'd probably read and pray together if I knew my time was that close. Well, we don't know when it's going to be. We need to be prepared for that eternity to be in the presence of God. But then I want to ask us as a church family to let's start preparing our hearts and our minds all through the week to be together on Sunday and Wednesday and to be in the presence of God. If you're watching us on Facebook tonight, I ask you to be praying. I know that it's been different. When we can't fellowship, when we can't hug, I know some of y'all like the fact you can't hug, but you know what? I miss hugging some of y'all's necks. I miss walking up to you and grabbing you around the neck and, what are you doing? Or shaking your hand, you know, doing that good old Baptist handshake and hug at the same time, you know. I miss that a little bit. I miss being together. And I know if you're still watching on Facebook that you miss that. But I believe that if we'll seek God and we'll prepare to be in His presence, that whether you're on Facebook and you're at home or whether you're here in the sanctuary, I believe that being in God's presence will be more powerful for us as a church. And for those of you that are here, let's pray. Let's seek God. Let's ask God to prepare us to be in His presence when we're together. Because I firmly believe that God is wanting to do something just amazing in our church. I believe that God is wanting to move in our church. And I believe that y'all want God to move in our church. And when we get all that on the same page, I think it's going to be amazing what God does. There's still a lot of people searching, a lot of people seeking in this day and time that we're living in. And we need to do better. We need to do more to be the place that God wants us to be here. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for all Your many blessings. God, I know there's no way that my weak words and my feeble mind can get out the way that You've put this on my heart tonight. God, I pray that You'll help us and let Your word speak to our hearts as we leave here. And God, as we go through the day tomorrow, I pray that You'll help us to be earnest and to seek You every day of the week, that will prepare our hearts and our minds to be in Your presence, God, that we'll be in a place that when we walk in here, God, that we're ready for You to move in our lives, God. We do pray for our church, God. I know that You're going to do something amazing, God. I know that You're going to move in just a really awesome way, and I don't know what that is, and I don't know what it'll look like, but God, whatever it looks like, I pray that You'll help us to be a place where sinners can come in and they will be convicted and they'll find Jesus Christ before it's everlasting too late. God, we thank you for loving old sinners like us. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen.